It's time to get strong, fit, and resilient. Welcome to the Fear Being Average podcast with your host, Brandon Rinka, where Brandon shares insights, practices, and education on leveling up how you look, feel, and perform. Say goodbye to complacency and get ready to kick the door into a new standard of living.
All right, so today is a very important episode as we need to understand when you're in the fitness industry, in the health space, there is a lot going on, right? There's a lot of information, a lot of resources, a lot of people that you can learn from now more than ever, right? It's not just your local community. It's not just your next door neighbor who's in good shape, but we're talking about across North America, across continents, across the world, you can learn from a buttload of people. Now, that's a good thing, right? Because we have access to some of the best minds, the most expert trainers and coaches in the world on how to approach health and fitness the right way. The problem with that is that we also get the opposite of that. We also get the jackass that has no business actually giving you advice on health and fitness, give their two cents. And maybe they look the part. Maybe they have created some success themselves. And now they're relaying that message onto you without the actual understanding or anecdotal experience of working with people and without proper certification and knowledge, and they're leading you in the wrong direction. Maybe they're completely neglecting long-term results, long-term health, and they're just trying to get the masses to follow what they're saying, and that's an issue, right? So there's two sides of the coin here, right? There's a lot of good knowledge out there, a lot of bad knowledge out there, some mediocre knowledge, you know, what to find, what to use, what to apply. It becomes very difficult. Now, for the people that are going to actively work with coaches, now that can be, you know, picking a gym, honestly, is a big one, right? A gym that has, you know, leadership and coaches that are actually going to direct you in a result-driven manner. That's more on the consumer because there's a lot of different gyms out there. Some are very sweat-oriented. Some are high-intensity. CrossFit, for example, that's a different style. Maybe you are trying to compete in CrossFit. Okay, go ahead and do that. But if you're not someone who competes in CrossFit or has that conditioning, it's a horrible gym for you, right? So you have to understand what is the purpose of the gym and then be a mindful consumer of what's going to be good for my body, right? And that's kind of the understanding from the consumer standpoint that there's going to be multiple different platforms and gyms out there that are offering different things. Some are result-driven, some are sweat-driven, some are community-driven. What do you want? What are you looking to achieve? And then understanding what the long-term success could look like by joining one of those gyms. Now, in terms of coaches and working with people, you know, personally, whether that's a virtual coach, so you're actually getting trained online, whether that's an online coach, which means you're getting, you know, coached from a distance, you're not actually visually seeing each other work out. So I'm not watching my client work out. I'm programming for them and I'm directing them via online without actually watching them do the exercise. They might send me some film, send me some video, stuff like that, but I'm not actually watching them live working out. Then obviously we have, you know, group coaching, and then we have one-on-one coaching where I'm working with the client one-on-one. And we have to become more mindful consumers so we don't get hoodwinked with improper coaching and bad coaching. One thing I do want to clarify, there's a difference and there's levels to this. So if you are going to pay for an elite coach, they are going to come with a premium, and they should come with a premium, right? A high quality coach with more experience, more success, more knowledge, you know, a better skill set, a better ability to help you is going to charge a higher premium, and they're worth it. Then you're going to have mediocre coaches, maybe a couple of years of experience, and maybe they have some basic understanding, and they might charge less of a premium. And then you're going to have bad coaches and trainers that might try to, you know, shortcut everybody and charge, you know, $30 to $50 a session, which is pretty good per hour if they're able to fill their schedule. But they're a bad trainer, so yeah, you can give that money to them, but don't expect any results, right? So if you are a consumer that's looking into this and you're wondering, okay, we're going to go over the characteristics, but also expect that you're going to be paying for greater service, not only from the skill set and the knowledge base, but how someone communicates, how someone leads, how someone, you know, directs your workouts, how they keep you pain-free, how they develop strength, all that kind of stuff is going to play into it. So have that understanding, because just because There's a ton of trainers out there. Doesn't mean they're all created equal, obviously. Just like if you pay for a high-level physiotherapist or a high-level doctor, for example, or a lawyer, they're going to come at a higher cost because they're going to get you a better result. Okay, so let's get into it. Elite coaches. We're looking at elite coaches, mediocre coaches, and bad coaches, something we really want to avoid, right? So we're going to look at the characteristics, some of the main characteristics to look out for. Starting off with elite coaches, because these are the coaches that you want to surround yourself with. These are the coaches you want to hire and you want to work with. Lots of great elite coaches that I've learned from, I've been mentored from either a distance, listening to them through podcasts, you know, actively taking some of their courses and certifications, actually communicating with some of them on a one-on-one basis, which has been a very, you know, unique and exciting experience for myself. Then obviously myself becoming an elite a coach and high quality coach myself through years and years of experience and theory and actual practice and getting out there becoming a practitioner of this industry and working with high level clients and getting them good results, which is great. First one, very important, elite coaches are assertive and they show a sense of true leadership. They demonstrate true leadership. Now, what I mean by that, not assertive in the manner that they talk down to you, but they know how to lead a conversation. They know how to articulate what the objective is. They know how to actually break down what they're doing for you, why it's beneficial, and directing you in a manner that's really good for you. Because there's this understanding sometimes of what a client wants and what a client actually needs. For most people, what a client wants, they don't know what they want, right? Subconsciously, they think they want that, but realistically, to get that, they need to address something else, right? So say, I want to have a really heavy back squat. That's a client's want, right? But maybe they lack the mobility to get a strong back squat. They lack the low back strength or the core strength. So what they actually want is to build a structure to allow them to build a heavy squat, right? So they have a misconception of what they actually want and they're going to try to skip three or four steps. So you need to, as an elite coach, if you're working with an elite coach, they're going to be able to communicate and articulate and demonstrate why a certain structure needs to be adhered to first and foremost. And they're not going to be scared and walking on eggshells to have that conversation. They're gonna take the lead. They're gonna be assertive, right? They're going to confidently communicate this with you, break it down so you understand in layman's terms. And that way you trust them. You feel like they have your back. You feel like they have your best interest in mind and that they're gonna get you where you wanna go over the long haul, right? And they're gonna ask the right questions so they lead you in the right way so you feel very confident and satisfied with their answer. Number two, they're extremely knowledgeable, right? So they understand how to regress exercises so they can do an assessment with you and they can figure out, okay, this is the best way to put a routine together for this individual. Now, if a trainer is skipping an assessment altogether and you talk online quickly and you have a little bit of a consultation and all of a sudden they're putting together this big program for you and they haven't even seen how you move, that's a big sign right there that they're probably not an elite coach. And this is something that I've really applied over the last few years and got a lot better with because before you want to dazzle them. You want to dazzle the client with something exciting, something that's going to make them feel engaged with the workout. They're going to feel excited that they're getting put through this sweat-oriented workout. But again, that's not helping most people. Most people need a customized, specific workout. Hence, that's why they're working with you one-on-one. That's why they're not going to a big group class of 25 people where the coach can't even see them or direct them, right? They're working with you to get a personalized experience. And that requires you to have an assessment and then figure out what is the best direction for this individual. So they know how to regress. They know how to progress exercises. They're great at cueing. Elite coaches, very knowledgeable coaches, when they're training someone, they're constantly cueing, right? When I'm working with a client, I'm watching them squat, deadlift, overhead press. It doesn't really matter what movement they're doing, lateral raises, a plank. I am constantly cueing them throughout the movement. If you watch any of my videos on social media, when I'm working with a client and you can actually hear me coaching and cueing, I'm not hyping them up. I'm not saying, one more, let's go, you got this. No, that's not good elite high quality coaching. That's me being a hype man, right? They don't need a hype man, they need coaching. They're paying for that elite premium service. So elite coaches, they're cueing, they're constantly correcting, they're constantly modifying and manipulating the body so it's in the best possible position to be successful and get a pain-free result, right? They know how to modify, and that's different than regressions and progressions, right? Regression would be making the exercise easier. Progression would be making the exercise a little bit more difficult. Where modifications are switching up how the body is moving in a particular exercise so that person actually feels the movement and the muscle engage more effectively. Right? So I can modify someone's body position because they're not feeling in their glutes, and all of a sudden I'm directing them to, you know, move their foot in a little bit. Maybe I'm working a little external rotation. I'm telling them to abduct a little bit harder. I'm telling them to engage the core more effectively and, you know, work on the posterior pelvic tilt and don't overextend in the lumbar spine, that kind of stuff, right? I'm modifying the movement, right? Until they can actually feel the muscle that we're trying to work get activated and get stimulated, so we see that growth. And that's what elite coaches do, right? They're really good with that extreme high knowledge base to make sure the client is getting the regressions and progressions, the cueing, the modifications that they are paying for. Number three, there's systems in place. Elite coaches come to a client with a system. They're not just, you know, mindlessly putting workouts together, right? They understand that there's a rhyme and reason from workout one to workout two, from week one to week two, from phase one to phase two, to block one to block two, right? They understand, they have these systems in place to intelligently progress an individual, to progress a client, to get them to peak at the right time. And now, some people might train with me for 5 years or 2 years or whatever, 10 years. Who knows if I have a really good retention rate? And you're not going to have everything planned out for 10 years, but you are going to have a system in place to build on, right? There's going to be, hey, we're going to start here because this allows us to do A, B, and C. And then we're going to move on once that's accomplished to the next phase of training, which is going to accomplish X, Y, and Z. You get the point, right? It's not randomly seeing, okay, well, this is what we're going to do today because it's a fun workout. The next week, we're going to do something different. That's not that's any idiot can train another idiot to sweat, right? I'm not calling people idiots here, but that's what I'm saying. Like, if I'm an idiot, I have no knowledge in exercise and fitness, but I've seen people do jumping jacks and sweat a lot, I can make you sweat. So any idiot can make you sweat. What you want with elite coaches is to hire a coach that has a system, has a proven, that's the operative word here, the proven system of genuine long-lasting results. They're expert programmers. They understand sets, reps, weight selection, RPE, right? Rate of perceived exertion. They understand rest periods. They understand the central nervous system. They understand adaptation. They understand when to reduce, when to increase volume and intensity, right? When to adjust, when to modify. Like, becoming an expert programmer involves all of those aspects, right? There's a rhyme and reason to every little thing they do. I posted a video recently online of me doing a bottoms-up contralateral Bulgarian split squat, right? And it was offset load, so I had different weights. And every part of that movement was programmed specifically and intelligently for a specific reason, right? So I'm putting together an exercise and a program based on what my body currently needs, and I'm doing so with the forethought of how this is going to affect me tomorrow, how this is going to affect this session, what I'm actually intentionally trying to accomplish. So we want to make sure there's systems in place, and we're not just hiring someone that's putting together exercises that we know work, right? There's a lot of, you know, you can go online and find out any exercise for any muscle group. We're not just throwing things together at random reps, random sets, at random intensities, random rest periods with no rhyme and reason to the week schedule, let alone the month schedule or the 3 month schedule that you're going to be working with the coach on, right? Number four, real world client experience plus results, right? We want to work with elite coaches, and elite coaches, they have this in their tool bank or toolbox. They have proven results, long-term results that speak for themselves, right? And they actually have the real world experience of working with a handful of clients. Not a handful, let's just say a busload of clients, right? They're working with a ton of people, a ton of different individuals, a ton of different experiences, and they have proven results. Over time, I've become a much better trainer, right? I used to be probably a mediocre coach when I first started out. I had a good knowledge base, but I lacked some of the basic principles to be an elite high-level coach. And I've worked my way up to this through obviously a lot more mentorship and learning and certifications and applied science. And I've taken a lot of pride in getting my clients long-term results, obviously having long-term retention, but getting people results that last, that they're not short-term, they're not over the next 3 months or the next 6 months. You know, I've become more assertive in my leadership style, speaking with trainers over the last probably 2-3 years, where again, I'm directing them in a manner that's gonna produce great results. And I'm able to educate them and sit down and talk with them and demonstrate, you know, what we're gonna do over the next, you know, 6 to 12 months that's gonna get them where they need to go and why we're not gonna rush that process, right? Because we wanna get long-term results. If I could constantly sell sexy, I could sell the abs, I could sell the immediate drop in weight, I could sell the fat loss, right? Because in 3 months, if I restrict a bunch of calories and I get you to increase your training volume week after week and your step count and your calorie expenditure, it's gonna be really easy for me to have a nice, you know, transformation picture from month one to month 3 or 4. However, do I set this person up for success? Have I taught them good behaviors and good habits? Have I actually built their body up before I broke it on down and put it in a catabolic state? No, I haven't. So again, that person's not gonna have a long-term result. And being able to actually demonstrate that with real-world examples and experience is gonna be huge. And this is what we wanna have with an elite coach. If they're taking you in and immediately they're going into how can we, you know, drop the 20 pounds off you in the quickest period we can, that's a bad coach. That's a sign of a mediocre coach, sign of a bad coach, and someone who doesn't actually deserve a premium price, and someone you should probably be very wary to work with, right? Because that person does not have your, you know, best intentions at heart, and they're looking for an easy transformation picture so they can market that success on their platforms, right? Number 5, they're emotionally stable, they're adaptable, they're accessible, right? Emotionally stable, when you meet up with them, they're professional, right? They're not talking about their life, they're not, you know, talking about their issues or problems. Yes, there's gonna be conversation and both people are gonna tell stories and share experiences. But again, they're not going on about, you know, the troubles and the tribulations in their life, right? They are asking a lot of questions, they're there for you, and they seem like they're really in control of their environment and in control of their life, especially when they're with you. That should always be demonstrated. They're adaptable, so I'm able to adapt to a high-level athlete, to a complete novice, to a, you know, 10-year-old kid. I need to be able to adjust and be able to communicate effectively. And maybe I'm not someone who works with, you know, kids or teenagers. I work with only high-level athletes, and I don't need to be as adaptable. But we should still be able to adjust our communication styles based on that individual. And we're accessible. You can get a hold of an elite coach. They're not leaving you. They're not ghosting you. They're not, you know, inconsistent with their communication. They're available. And these are characteristics of elite coaches. And these elite coaches are few and far between and deserve that respect and deserve a premium price. And again, if you're not looking for a great result, maybe you don't need an elite coach. But again, if you're looking to do this thing right and do it once rather than spending money on a mediocre or a bad coach and then reinvesting that money to get the same result that you just worked towards, do that. I suggest against that. It's a much wiser investment in your time, energy, and money when you work with a high-level coach. Now, moving on to mediocre coach, okay? What are some characteristics? Now, let me clarify. There are going to be a little bit of, you know, blended characteristics. You know, there's going to be some of the characteristics of an elite coach that a mediocre coach does have, but they might only contain one or two of those characteristics. And then they have a few other ones that put them in that mediocre quality or mediocre category. Number one, they have a decent amount of experience. They're not overly experienced because experience with training and being a coach is so damn important, right? If you don't have over 5 years of experience, actual legitimate full-time experience with producing really good results, you're not elite or a high-level coach. It just is what it is. You might become one, but right now you're not, and you shouldn't call yourself that. It takes time. It takes a lot of, you know, success. It takes a lot of learning to become that person and constant learning. You're a constant student. So if you only have 2 to 3 years of coaching, you know, that's going to put you in that mediocre category right off the bat. And that's nothing to, no shitting on that person for that. Everyone starts month one in a new job, and you got to work your way up to gain that actual experience. And hopefully if you do it the right way, that experience and the results that you create for people will turn you into a high level elite coach worth hiring. So the experience level is typically around 2 to 3 years. Anything below 5 years, I would say, hey, just kind of be wary and, you know, think of them as someone who's on the brink, if they have the results backing it up, on the brink of becoming an elite coach. They have a basic understanding. You know, they understand the basic principles of health and fitness. They understand, you know, macronutrients. They understand, you know, calories. They understand how to build muscle. They can explain it a little bit. You know, they have a nice basic fundamental understanding of the human body and how it works. And, you know, when you talk to them, it makes sense. You know, they're not completely bullshitting you. They're typically, because they have a basic understanding, and maybe they're not, and they're definitely not expert programmers, and they probably don't have systems in place for a variety of people that make sense, that are generating proven results. You know, they kind of just go through the flow of it. They're usually hype coaches. You know, mediocre coaches is one way you can tell an elite coach from a hype coach, or a mediocre coach, sorry. Elite coaches, like I talked about, they're constantly queuing, they're constantly modifying, they're constantly finding the best positions for the client, where a mediocre coach doesn't have that same skill set or knowledge base. So they lean into being the energy person, being the high motivator, being the person that hypes you up. Let's go, you got one more. And with that, they typically lean towards doing more high intensity, sweat oriented, short rest periods for their clientele, because the client feels like they're getting a great workout because they're sweating, they're tired, they feel the burn, they feel sore afterwards. Oh my God, that must have been a great workout. Where elite high level coaches understand that's a sign of potential overtraining and a sign of, you know, calorie burn workout, but not a workout based on adaptation. And elite coaches, high level coaches, think in terms of how do we get the body to adapt? How do we get the body to achieve in a result? Where mediocre coaches think more in the short term, think more, again, along the hypes of high energy and motivation, and they bank on people really connecting with them, right? There's that likability factor, right? There's that trust factor, but the results typically follow suit of a mediocre coach, and the results are typically mediocre, right? Because when you're hyping someone up and you're, you know, neglecting proper cueing or proper systems in place and not really addressing how the body's connecting or moving to actually get the result you want, yeah, you can only expect so good of a result, right? Very motivator driven. These people, like I said, typically really lean into being the motivator, right? There's someone who's really good at connecting with you, really good at building you up, which is good. It's a good thing, right? That's a good aspect of a coach. But unfortunately, to be a really good elite coach, you have to be able to have those tough conversations. You have to be more than just the hype person that's constantly motivating them, because that becomes very exhausting, right? Me constantly motivating someone to work out and to eat a certain way is not long lasting. That is going to fade away. High level elite coaches are able to communicate in a different manner, where they don't need to constantly base their communication on motivation, because the client becomes less about the motivating aspect of working out and starts, you know, adopting why health and fitness really is good for their body, how it improves their quality of life. And obviously with the high level elite coaches, they're getting really good results. You don't need to be more motivated when you're getting really good results and your body's feeling, looking, and performing better. But when you're not getting those results, right, and you're constantly just getting the sweat and the calorie burn, and your weight's fluctuating, you're hitting these massive plateaus, and you're gaining the weight back when you go on vacation, you have to be the motivating coach to keep them working with you. So that's kind of a big indication right there. Mediocre coaches typically lack long-term vision. Again, very short-term oriented. How can I get a really good result for you? Now, a lot of the times, these mediocre coaches, they don't know that they're applying a disservice to their client. They think getting the client the 20 pounds or the 30 pounds off in 2 to 3 months is really helping them. Oh my God, the client's going to feel so good about themselves. We're going to get a great result. I'm going to look like a successful trainer or coach. But a lot of people, majority of people, like I said, they don't really know what they want, right? They're unconsciously ignorant in this space. That's why they're hiring you. So for you to think that me getting the result they come to me for in the quickest period is success, I drastically disagree with that, right? And I always talk about this. I talk about this on social media a ton, and I tweet it maybe every other day basically. But I would rather have the client that loses 20 pounds over 6 months with me based on their eating more high quality food, they're being more active, they're being more mindful with what they're eating and their lifestyle habits, and they're actually approaching, you know, exercise and fitness and training and health in a way that they're building the body up. They're improving speed up their metabolism. They're improving their hormone profile. They're getting stronger. They're building muscle compared to the person that comes to me. We restrict a bunch of calories. We increase a bunch of volume. We potentially put them in very vulnerable positions to hurt themselves and, you know, create chronic pain based on the intensity being way too difficult for that individual, but we lose the 20 pounds. Like, that's not success to me, right? That is putting a Band-Aid on something, and as soon as you remove that Band-Aid, everything goes back to normal, right? The person gains the weight, they have the, you know, bad behaviors, they have the disconnect of what health and fitness really means. So a lot of these mediocre coaches, they lack that long-term vision, and because they don't have the strong communication skills or the assertiveness or the leadership or the knowledge to actually direct their client on how and why going down a different path is going to be better for them, and they don't have that confidence to have that conversation, they lean into just giving the client what they think they want and not what they need or not what they actually want, right? And because of that lack of long-term vision exists, the client doesn't get really good results. They get very temporary results, let's just call it that. And then that's why when the weight goes back on and the body doesn't function as optimally and the body doesn't feel as good as it should, whereas as they expected for as long as they expected, a lot of these people lose the weight and they think it's going to stay off for the rest of their life. When you use shitty approaches, it's not going to stay off longer than maybe a few weeks to a few months at most, right? Now, last one, these clients are certified, or these the coaches, the mediocre coaches, they're certified, and they actually work with actual clients. So that's one thing I do want to make sure is clarified. Mediocre coaches, they're certified personal trainers, they're certified health coaches, and they work with actual clients. They're out in the field doing their thing. They're working in gyms because they're certified. They're working with clients because they've actually gone out and invested in themselves. So we want to make sure there's a discernible difference between a mediocre coach and a bad coach that we're going to get into very shortly. And these mediocre coaches, again, they're certified. They've taken some actual steps to become better. They just lack that extremely knowledgeable base and maybe experience. And obviously, they haven't, you know, really learned how to program on an expert level and a high level to get people, you know, true, genuine, high-level peaked results. Typically, and that's what we find the difference between the high-level elite coaches and the mediocre coaches. Now, going into bad coaches, these are the coaches, again, you're going to have to really watch out for. You should never hire. You should never work with. Why? Because they're bad. They're shitty. Okay? I wouldn't even call them a coach or trainer if it wasn't for their Instagram profile, right? But these people, they're in the fitness industry. They're in the health industry. And they're going out and they're selling programs. They're selling coaching. But these are the people you got to be very concerned about, very wary of, because typically these bad coaches, they look really good. That's kind of the irony, right? That's why they're able to actually somehow make it in this industry, even though they're a bad coach or trainer, is because they look the part. They have the abs, they have the big ass, whatever you want to call it. They have the toned, quote unquote, muscles, and you want to look like them. They have a big follower and following account on Instagram or TikTok. So again, it looks like they're an authority. Unfortunately, someone like myself that, you know, maybe 1,600 followers, but maybe some good, genuine, you know, people are following me and getting some good information from me compared to the person that has 500,000 followers. They might not have a 10% of the knowledge that I have or the experience I have, but because they've marketed and advertised themselves really well over social media and they look the part and they're, and people are buying into it, right? All of a sudden they have a big business now, right? But these are the people you have to really kind of, you know, like I said, you want to walk around these people and figure out, okay, what value are they really sharing? Now, that's why I do a lot of long form content. That's why, you know, I'll have some YouTube videos, or I'll have a podcast, or I'll do some, you know, written work for publications, stuff like that, because I want people to hear me articulate certain subject matter. I want them to hear a detailed version of how to build muscle or how to increase performance or, you know, how to burn off body fat or different training methods that work really well. Like, I want to get into the weeds to show that I actually know what the hell I'm talking about. Compared to these people, these bad coaches and bad trainers, they typically will stay away from long form, because if it was long form and it was just them talking about a subject matter and you tried to listen to them, you would realize how full of shit they really are, right? Because they wouldn't be able to hold a conversation. They wouldn't be able to actually communicate why they're doing something. They wouldn't understand the biomechanics of how a muscle actually works or how a body moves or why they program this and why they phase their workouts this way. Like, they just don't have that knowledge base, so they stay away from anything that would make them vulnerable to being exposed. So they post pictures, they post their workouts, and it looks all good. Their body looks good, the workouts are there, the pictures look great. Okay, great, we're gonna now give this person money and we might actually work with them online, right? Like, what are their credentials? What is their actual experience, right? Are there client success stories over a long haul? Are they over a short period? Are they selling sexy? Be aware of that. It's really easy to sell sexy, guys. Really easy for me to sell abs in 30 days or abs in 60 days or lose 30 pounds in 2 months. It's really easy to do that because I can get people to do that, but I'm going to definitely compromise their health, but I can still get that result for a person if they're disciplined enough to apply the practices I'm telling them to apply, right? But that doesn't make me a good coach. Like I said, any idiot can make someone sweat. Any idiot can make someone lose 20 pounds in 8 weeks. Pretty damn simple. Go keto and start moving your body way more than you're moving it right now. And every week, add a little bit more volume to what you're doing, right? Or take away a few more calories. Okay, there you go, guys. You don't need a coach for that, right? You might need a coach to hold you accountable, but you're an idiot for buying that kind of program because it doesn't last and it's short-sighted and you're actually compromising your health, right? You're compromising your libido, you're compromising your hormones, you're compromising how you look at health and fitness, you know, you're compromising your energy. Doesn't do you any good, right? What else do these bad coaches do? What else should you be looking out for? Well, they go out and they showcase cookie cutter approaches, right? They usually have one approach or a couple approaches and they just mass market it, right? They just kind of go out there with a very vanilla training plan that they may have seen online from someone else. Maybe they've done one day of Google search and found out, okay, hip thrusts are a good exercise for the glutes and so are squats and so are gut deadlifts. And maybe we'll do some maybe we'll do some kickbacks and abductions and boom, we'll put it all together. Like, there's no rhyme and reason to the workouts. It's just a bunch of volume. It's just a bunch of exercises and they hope for the best, right? And most people that don't work out at all will see some result from it, but they'll also probably experience plateaus very soon and they'll experience overtraining, they'll experience burnout, and they're going to experience a very lackluster result, to be quite frank, right? These individuals are not actual trainers. They're influencers. They don't actually have any certifications. They don't have any actual credentials to their name. They have very little, practitioner experience, right? Maybe they've read a couple things and now they've built their Instagram based on how they look, and now they're a coach or a trainer and they sell stuff. Like, that doesn't make them anything other than a person who learned to build up their follower count, right? And that they look good. So these people are not actual trainers, they're influencers. Those are two different things. So I'd really direct people to work with coaches that are at least, at the very least, actually certified. They have actually invested money into becoming somewhat of an authority, whether it's in a mediocre authority or elite high level authority. At least go to someone who's put in the time to invest in becoming a trainer. Again, that's the bare minimum. It's so easy to do. It's not like the test is all that easy, but it's easy enough to do, right? It's a small investment in money. It's a small investment in the grand scheme and time and energy. That's the least these people could do. But bad coaches and trainers, they don't even have this. And even if they do have it, it might just give them, below the mediocre trainer standard, but you still need to watch out for that because you don't want to be blinded by them having just a certification but still being a cookie cutter coach with shitty programs, right? And unfortunately, because programs out there, you can find free programs, you can find programs for $20, you can find programs for $10, that we look at all programs the same. That's not the case, right? Elite coaches or high-level coaches that build programs that make sense, that are phased, that are properly periodized, that have rhyme and reason to it, it's going to cost more. There's programs that I've bought online for $100 to $150 because they're designed by high-level coaches and trainers that I know are going to produce a great result. My programs are $80 for 3 months, you know? Pretty good price overall, but you might find a program for $15. That should give you some signs that it's a shitty program because they didn't put a lot of thought into it. They didn't put a lot of energy into it. When you put a lot of thought and time into a program that makes sense and it's thought out, you go, hey, you know what? I want to be compensated for this because this is quality stuff. So when you go out and you look at all programs being the same, no, again, that's very misguided. Just like it's as if we look at, you know, all protein powder as the same. Right? No, there's high price protein, right? Because it has a higher protein content, a higher quality of protein, more complete amino acid profile compared to a protein powder that has 15 grams of protein and filled with a bunch of additives and processed shit that you don't want in it, right? A lot of fillers. There's going to be a price gap, right? But we don't see free protein powder on the market, right? So we still kind of value it as something. Or if you find a free program, all of a sudden now we look at programs as something that don't deserve our time and attention, that they're all the same. Like, no, there's shitty programs out there for free, hence why they're out there. And then there's good programs for money and good programs for a high premium because they're better programs. So start seeing it as such, because these bad coaches, they have a big following. They don't care if they sell $20 programs that are shitty, enough people are going to buy them because they have such a huge following account, right? Or follower account that, or follower count, sorry, that they're going to get to make a killing on it. If you have 500,000 followers and you sell it for $20 and what, 5% buy? It's a lot of people, right? 50,000 people buying your program, then that would be like a huge conversion, right? That'd be making a ton of money. So, like, we have to understand that, you know, the good coaches are going to pay a – are going to put together a higher premium program online because it's actually well thought out and well structured and is result driven, where someone with a massive follower account doesn't need to do that. They put something together over a weekend, and before you know it, you know, or over not even a weekend, over a couple hours, and before you know it, it's selling off the charts because they have that high – follower account and they look a certain way. So be wary of that. Programs purely for the short term. A lot of these bad coaches, bad trainers, they program for the result. They program for the result over the next 2 to 3 months, right? They don't think long term. Hence why it's usually a lot of high intensity, a lot of high volume, and a lot of calorie restriction. And then there's no long-term plan or vision. Like, because these people don't know how to program, they don't know how to phase, they don't know how to properly periodize workouts or get people to peak. These people aren't working with high-level athletes, obviously, because they don't know how to program properly. So they don't know how to get an athlete to peak for a specific event or race or period in their life, right? They don't do that because they don't have the knowledge base or the skill set to do so. Hence why they're, you know, a bad coach, right? They don't know how to do it. They haven't taken the time to learn. Yeah, I'll put them in the category of bad coach or mediocre coach, but they don't have any long-term plan or vision. They're giving you something that you can, that will keep you busy for the next few months, but is not going to get you the result you want, and usually, you know, compromise your time and compromise your health. So you got to be very wary of that. So there you go, guys. There's the differences of elite coaches, mediocre coaches, bad coaches. You got a ton of information there. Be wise. Be a wise, mindful consumer. At the end of the day, it comes down to you. You know, how I would suggest it, unless you've, you know, really followed someone for 6 months or a year and you've heard them speak, you've heard them, you know, educate on the topic of health and fitness, you've seen them get people really good results over the long term, they're highly qualified, like, do your homework. Don't just start following someone, like the way they look, and then buy a program from them or work with them online or in person if they happen to be close by. You know, be someone who's more mindful, who's a little bit more, reserved in terms of just giving your money to this impulsive nature of, I want to look like that. You know, if you're someone who's far away from that goal already, that's not your path. Like, there is a there's a process to this. This is a journey. And if any coaches are telling you that this isn't the journey, and this isn't a long journey, they're trying to sell you something. So be mindful of that, accept it, understand it, appreciate it, and look forward to working with higher quality coaches that are really looking out for your best result and are going to give you a high value and make you truly adopt this space in a very healthy manner. So, all right, guys, we will see you on the next episode of the Fear Being Average podcast.